This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I was cleaning the ass.
Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Chris Bullock. We are now joined by a good friend of ours. He's been on our program multiple times, Brian Sciarretta from American Soccer. Now, one of the best in the business at covering the beautiful game here in the States. Brian, how you doing?
Very good. Very hot here on the East Coast, but very good.
Yeah, much of the same here in the Midwest. A little heat wave, and hopefully everyone who has an MLS and everyone has is okay during these times. I know it gets pretty hot. They do give people water breaks. You know, they do little water breaks in each half. So hopefully everyone stays cool out there on the pitch.
Yeah, you know, it's thank goodness they instituted hydration breaks, but you know, it's more of a concern I think for fans right now.
Agreed. I kind of want to go back to Gold Cup. I know you are heavy on the scene. You do a great job of covering the U.S. men's national team and players that are playing overseas as well. U.S. men's national team gets to the final, lose to a really good Mexican side. What was your overall takeaway from the tournament in terms of this team moving forward and qualifying for World Cup 2022?
You know, I think it was pretty good overall. I mean, you know, I was very concerned about the two pre-Gold Cup friendlies. Mm-hmm. I thought that the team looked awful. I think they improved as the tournament went on. And look, they had their chances to, you know, to beat Mexico. They just didn't finish them. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that they had a lot of chances that go in most times. But it wasn't to be, and they lost by a very narrow margin against a favored team. I mean, it can happen. I think I don't think if you were to go back and say, well, U.S. is going to lose in a hard fought final against Mexico, you know, who were favorite, and essentially they were playing in Chicago, but a very pro Mexican crowd. Like, I think everyone would say, you know, that's nothing out of the ordinary or unexpected. You know, it's just, what did he learn from this, and new manager Greg Berhalter learned from this, and how is he going to incorporate some of the newer players that are coming up, and how will the roster continue to evolve in both the near term and short term future? Those are things that hopefully will be unknown and over the next six months to a year.
Where do you see, after watching this tournament, what do you see as the biggest hole right now on this team? I know you talked a little bit in one of your articles about the striker position, some unknowns there. What did you see as the biggest hole after this tournament for the United States men's national team?
You know, I think, it's striker position, because I think it's very thin back there. You know, mm-hmm. Josie came back into the play, and everyone's talking about that one miss, but, you know, he had a lot of skill on that play just to get that opportunity, and is strong. He had a lot of physical strength to have a really effective hold-up play. And, you know, no one really can do that in the striker pool, but Josie's has a struggle for him to be healthy at big tournaments. So there's a lot of questions. And you start going down to people who didn't perform well, like Jossi Zardes and others, and then you have like a bunch of really unproven guys who look promising at the youth level, but really lack a lot of professional experience, mm-hmm. like Josh Sargent and stuff. And so, you know, and there's a lot of just, you know, you're banking on a lot of kids who are just brand new to the game, you know, so, or this level of the game playing against men. So it's not a great situation at forward, and one that I think, you know, needs to get resolved sooner than later. Then the other things too, like, known pieces, like, you know, Tyler Adams is going to be on the team, but is he really a right back? I mean, they have a lot of right backs who are playing well. I mean, mm-hmm. can't he just be a D mid where he is and getting the most out of those guys? And then how to get Tyler Boyd more involved, because he's a good player. You know, it's all these little things in terms of, you have the pieces, you know what pieces are on the horizon, but it's kind of like putting them all together right now.
We're talking with Brian Sciarretta from American Soccer. Now, after watching the tournament and Gold Cup play. What do you see as the identity of this team or the style of play that Berhalter is trying to implement with this team going forward? There's been a lot of questions about, in terms of, on an overall scale, bigger picture scale, of what the identity of men's soccer is at the national level in this country. What do you think that Berhalter is trying to implement in that sense?
Yeah, it's still too early to say, and some of the things that when he outlined that vision in an introductory press conference, it doesn't necessarily, seem to be, match with where the team's going. So maybe it's evolving a little bit, and it's going, he was so openly talking about having players be, be disruptive forces and win balls on turnovers and have quick transitions. But then, his main D-mid for a while before this tournament was Will Trapp, who's not that great defensively, and a bunch of other players out there who that wasn't really what they did, So, it could be evolving. I mean, he had, the right back cutting in and trying to play towards the midfield, but Reggie Cannon was more like a typical right back, a traditional right back in the Gold Cup final, and did quite well. So, tactically, we don't know yet because all the pieces are still new and they're arriving. And, it's tough. I mean, that's something that's going to really – I don't really think it's going to be known until, after we get through World Cup qualifying in terms of, how this team plays. Because building an identity and building a culture is something that often takes years to do. Mm-hmm. And if you know a lot about – it usually doesn't – a team's national identity on the field usually transcends the coach too.
Yeah.
It's not saying one coach should come in and just put his flag down and say, this is the identity of the team. Usually there's an identity of the team and then the coach comes in and just has to work around that because that's the identity of the team and that prevails and it's been like that for several decades.
Yeah.
So, it's tough.
Yeah, and countries like Germany have a certain style that has right. been implemented for years, or Brazil, or what have you, Spain. So this is going to take some time, and it starts at a youth level as well across the country. The
right,
United States
exactly.
is such a vast nation that there might be, in California, the youth level might have a different style than what is being played in maybe a Florida or something like that.
Right, but you look at the U-20 team, and they've had now three strong cycles now where they've gone to the quarterfinals of the World Cup. A lot of times missing their best player, but those teams play extremely hard and frantic almost a little bit, and they could do a lot with a few little chance choices here. I would say, and the national team is kind of really drawing heavily from the previous three U-20 teams. So, maybe that is the identity, going down there to observe. But, we'll see. We'll see how that shapes. Or if Berhalter might not even be able to change it. It mm-hmm. might just be something that is up to the players and they grow internally. And maybe that's where the identity comes from. So maybe it's beyond that. But it's going to be whenever, this younger core really becomes a more steady and mature veteran presence is when we'll be able to see what this team is all about. In terms of identity.
Yeah, once again, we're talking with Brian Shredda here on Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. He does great work for American Soccer Now. Check out all of his articles there. Moving to the MLS game, Sporting KC, big match against FC Dallas at Children's Mercy Park, 7:30, first kick. You can hear it here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Sporting KC, 4 points out of that seventh spot in the Western Conference, which is occupied by FC Dallas right now. They've won their last two, Sporting KC has, but they're against Vancouver and Chicago, so I don't know how much you can take with that. It's good to see some positive play from Sporting, though, and they're starting to get some health back and players back in the lineup. But they got to get 3 points tonight at home against a fringe playoff team if they want to prove that they are a playoff contender down the road in the Western Conference.
And they should be able to smell some blood because, Dallas is a very young team and they're hitting a crossroads. They don't have that target forward up top. Jesus Ferreira is only 18 years old and, he hasn't been as effective in the last couple of games as he's been in previous weeks and earlier months of the season. I covered Dallas a lot because I cover U.S. youth national teams, and there's no team in the in American soccer that has as big of a footprint on the U.S. youth national teams as Dallas, and it's admirable what they're doing. But you know, but they're at a crossroads right now, mm-hmm. and there's an opportunity for Sporting Kansas City, which is, let's face it, you know, a more veteran-oriented team, which also has its pluses and minuses too. But this is a kind of this is youth versus maturity here, and you know, the youth can take it, but you know, could always win these games. But not the situation where Dallas is in is they're at really a crossroads, and they lost that last game against Minnesota in the dying moments. They had their chances, they just couldn't put them away. You know, and they have a great number 10 and young number 10 in Paxton Pomacall is having a great season, but. Yeah, you know, the outlet passes for him or haven't been there lately. You know, for the finish, you know, who's he going to combine with in the advanced, you know, areas of the field? I think if Sporting Kansas City can, you know, if they give up an early goal to Dallas, they could be in big trouble because you know Dallas can start to build on momentum, yeah. start playing towards the potential. But they can kind of frustrate Dallas early. You know, that's something where youth is not really an advantage because that requires a little bit of maturity to see themselves through some frustrating moments. And, you know, you have to like Sporting Kansas City's chances as the game goes on if it's even.
And you mentioned age, of course, especially with that back line with Beisler and yeah. Sesanovic and Graham Zusi. Usually in that back half, especially at the fullback position, you want to have in that left back and right back some speed. With the transfer window open right now, do you see them making a move possibly to get some more pace on the back line?
Certainly wouldn't surprise me. I mean, you know, I think you know, Sporting is an ambitious club. They're a club that wants to win, and you know, it doesn't take a lot for Sporting Kansas City to be very good. I mean, they have a great home field advantage, and you know, and if they could start. You know, if they could start, you know, if they're bad, you know, they could that home field advantage can cover up for a lot of errors. So the fact that they're underachieving now is alarming. But if they can find that a couple of fixes are out there that would make a little bit of difference, maybe they can make a huge amount of difference, if that makes any sense, because mm-hmm. They would have the wind at their back and momentum and making that their stadium a tough place to play. So, yeah, I could definitely see Sporting Kansas City being, in, you know, open to – you know, making some changes here and bringing in some faster players on the flank.
We're talking with Brian Sciaretta here from American Soccer Now on Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Moving to the kind of the top half of Sporting or the offense for Sporting right now with Jerso Fernandez back in the lineup, just showing some extreme pace on the wing. And if you have Johnny Russell on the other wing, and then would been not a surprise, but a more consistent play from Johan Quaze, who they were pretty high on here last year. And since Christian Namath has not been in form recently, Quaze has kind of manned that top spot and done a pretty good job of it recently.
Yeah, I mean, look, in this league, you know, as we saw with LA Galaxy last year, is like you can have an unbelievable player and maybe another good player, but that's not going to be. You have to be able to, you know, be able to attack on multiple different fronts if you want to make the playoffs and go far. I mean. Zlatan couldn't even get the Galaxy into the playoffs last year. And that was kind of like a signal, I think, to the rest of the league that, you know, where they can go with these, you know, designated players is it has to be, especially what you see with the Red Bulls, you know, it's like a team that I cover more than most other teams because of my location and the fact that they have a big presence on the national team, at least with their alumni. But, like, it's, you know, it can't just be Bradley Wright Phillips. There has to be like a Daniel Royer. There has to be, you know, a bunch of other options that are out there that can put the ball in the net. You know, in Sporting Kansas, I think Peter realizes that, and Peter knows that better than everybody. And you know, and if the harder they, you know, the more options that they have, the better, obviously. And I think that they have the pieces together. It just hasn't really worked so far to this point. Seems like when a little bit goes wrong for Kansas City, it just kind of just snowballs and everything seems to go wrong. And when it rains, it pours. They can't win with their plan B very well. And and we'll see. I mean, that's something that could get changed if, you know, a couple of players start you know, playing up to their normal selves again.
Do you think that the style of play Sporting likes, the heavy ball dominant possession team, but with a back half, a back line that has been very inconsistent and a rotating back half that hasn't played consistently together, do you think that has left them susceptible there in counters and maybe giving up late leads and goals this season?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to be a possession-oriented team, you have to have outside backs that can press higher up the field and be like the first line in the attack more so than just be like a, you know, clear and pray, you know, that a goal goes well after that. You're right. I mean, there's been my concern with Sporting Kansas City coming into this year was always the age of the back line and the need for turnover there, and whether, you know, the back line is going to have acceptable backups where they can have multiple turnovers and, you know, in the lineup and still maintain the team's, you know, consistency. And I don't think that's happened yet so far. So, it's a big problem for Sporting Kansas City, but one that has been kind of slowly brewing for quite some time because, you know, it's been said, but I think, in everyone's preseason preview of Sporting Kansas City that comes out like in February or whenever, which I do the predictions, that's always been a concern the last 2-3 years, and only now has it kind of manifested itself into becoming a reality. So, and with the schedule becoming more condensed, it becomes more of a test of depth. It looks disjointed, at least on the onset of the attack, and I think that's why you're seeing some turnovers and Sporting Kansas City being susceptible on the counter.
SKC getting healthy, as we talked about earlier, finally maybe getting back to that form that you saw early in the season with the CONCACAF Champions League, getting all the way to the final. They possibly are getting Roger Espinoza back, which is kind of the heart and soul of that midfield for Sporting KC. Depending on the type of form we will see from him, they said he might return tomorrow night, but that is I'm not completely sure of that. If he can get back to form and can be a contributor this season, what do you expect from SKC down the stretch of this season and maybe making a playoff push down the line this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think it can certainly. I mean, Rodgers a known winner, and you know, there's a lot when a healthy Rodgers sometimes is better. Getting him is better than sometimes getting like an import from overseas who has to learn how to adapt in the league. I mean, Roger knows how to win in the league. You know, he knows he can play at this level. He knows, you know, there's more certainty with the way he can play if he stays healthy. You know, that's just the question right now. And obviously, like I said earlier, like the schedule, how congested it is this year more than it is previous years, and all the teams are playing midweek games, you know, it's tougher to be able to rely on certain players, especially ones who are coming back from injury or some who are a little bit older. It'll be challenging for him, but, you know, I think he could definitely come up with some big moments and give Sporting Kansas City a chance. But, like, look, the West has a lot of good teams in it right now, a lot of teams that are playing well, both L.A. teams. Minnesota's playing well. Seattle can play well, and Portland's on the rise. And Real Salt Lake has won its last couple games. So, you know, it's not like the East where, you know, you just have to be better than a couple of really bad teams just to make the playoffs. It's a different beast out in the West, you know, they don't have much margin for error right now.
You talked about LAFC. At this point, is it just LAFC versus the field right now, in your opinion, coming into the going down the second half of the MLS season?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, they might have even be raising the bar a little bit from Atlanta United last year. They're that good. But, you know, obviously with the new playoffs, one bad game in the playoffs can hurt you, the single elimination, but they'll get to host it. I mean, they're going to be the number one seed in the West. They're going to get to host every single game that they want. And they just, you know, every single game that's in front of them will be at their stadium. So that's a really tough place to have to go in there and win a game. So you got to think, like, you know, they're in very, very good shape. But, like, of course, you know, an injury to Carlos Vela and everything just goes right on its head. So, you know, it's going to come down to Bob Bradley rotating his team because I think that they're running away with it, and just making sure, you know, it's all about these are almost like friendlies ahead of like the World Cup, you know, mm-hmm. like the rest of the season. These are important friendlies and tune-up friendlies for the playoffs. So you don't want to overwork anybody, but you know, I mean, they're in great shape. Even if they drop a few games here or there, you know, they're just that powerful. They don't really have any weak links.
Agreed. We are talking with Brian Ciaretta here on Sports Center on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Check his work out on AmericanSoccerNow.com. He does a great job of covering the beautiful game here in the States. He also does a great job of covering U.S. players that are playing overseas in European leagues. I'll kind of end it with it here with you, Brian. How long do you think Peter Vermes is the manager and technical director of Sporting Kansas City?
I think he's going to keep going with it for a little while longer. You know, I don't get the sense that there's probably European, you know, teams banging down the door to try to bring mm-hmm. him on. And, you know, I think, you know, if he has to ever, you know, have a situation where they have to rebuild Sporting Kansas City, you know, get rid of a lot of players and try to rebuild from scratch, that might be, you know, exciting for him. I know that, you know, look, they just signed Cameron Duke, another, you know, U.S. young, U.S. youth international. And they had to go along with guys like Buzio. So I think having those kind of players, you know, and he hasn't really worked anyone into from the ground up like they could do in New York all the time, like mm-hmm. your Miazgas, your Tyler Adams, where they go all the way from they go all the way from the academy to the first team to Europe to the full national team. Like that's really a fun process, and only now is it really starting to become a like a real reality for Sporting Kansas City in terms of having these kind of young players. And. And I think that that's something that might keep him around a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of having him be interested. I mean, I think it, you know, to be able to work with those kind of players is exciting and fun. And I think a lot of more managers in the United States are starting to you know do that. I mean, like Chris Armas is now and Jim Curtin and you know a lot of these guys. It's kind of being shown the new business model. It's just Kansas City is almost operating on a having success, but operating under like MLS in a slightly different era, mm-hmm. not too far away. But I think going with that youth-oriented approach is, especially dealing with these talented young American players that are even not even the ones that jet over to Europe young. Like there's still a bunch of them here that are really, really good. And I think you know, working as a guy who's a former U.S. national team captain, you know, and a World Cup veteran, it might just be really interesting for Peter to try to transition the team towards that approach. We'll see. I mean, this is all me just guessing, but
yeah,
you know, if you ask me, like, I think that there's still a lot of interesting things he can do at Sporting Kansas City.
Well, we know we'd love to have him here as long as possible in Kansas City with the job he has done here. And Brian, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you for taking time out of your Saturday to join us. All right.
All right. Anytime. Thank you very much.
There he is, Brian Ciaretta from American Soccer Now. Does a great job of covering the beautiful game here in the States. Always enjoy having him on. Check out his work at AmericanSoccerNow.com. We'll take a quick break here on Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll be back after this.
There you go. Revving the engines a little bit on Saturday morning here in Kansas City. You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB, cranking out 50,000 watts across the Midwest. You can listen worldwide by getting the app. That's 810WHB.com. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. Chris, great interview with Brian Ciaretta, talking Sporting KC and the mm-hmm. national team.
Yeah, it was really always good conversation, stimulating conversation with Brian. He does a great job of covering all facets of the game of soccer, yeah. whether it be, you know, U.S. players playing in Europe and covering them and keeping people updated on that, and also the national team and MLS. We were talking about LAFC. They had a tough loss last night.
That game was crazy.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic had two incredible goals.
Right.
And he was talking smack after it. I love it because I love that.
He always does.
Tenacity. And telling some of the LA coaches, LAFC coaches, to go home. And so LAFC still 9 points clear of the top of the table
got
in the Western Conference.
Got some work to do there, Galaxy.
Yeah, they got some work to do. LAFC still looking like a clear favorite. Carlos Vela had two goals last night.
But his year is – he's MVP right now. There's no question. Right?
But Zlatan, he'll have something to say about it at the and hopefully they meet in the playoffs. I'd really enjoy that, because I always love that game. Is awesome now that you know LAFC is kind of established, you know, with the as an expansion team, and now kind of trying to take, you know, fans from LA Galaxy. LA Galaxy was the team that was there forever. You know, had Beckham and Donovan for a little bit, so. We'll see, but I love watching Zlatan play. It's fun.
It's it's what it used to be called, the LA San Jose Earthquakes game.
That was
called El Clasico.
Or this new LAFC and LA Galaxy's El Trafico.
El Trafico. That's where I was going with that. Good read. All right.
Yes, absolutely. I'm on top of it.
And I am a huge Zlatan Ibrahimovic fan. I always try to use his accent, but it's no good. And I've been a huge fan because on my mom's side of the family, they came from Sweden. And Zlatan Ibrahimovic, even though his name doesn't sound like it, he is Swedish. Played for the national team. Wouldn't play in the last World Cup. Refused to play. And then he said, he was asked on, I think he was on with Conan O'Brien or Jimmy Kimmel, somebody like that, said, "Are you going to play in the World Cup?" And he wouldn't answer, and they said, "Well, if you don't play, are you going to watch?" And he said, "What is a World Cup without Zlatan? There is no World Cup without Zlatan."
True. Get more and Zlatan.
Did you see what he said this week about Major League Soccer? Got some folks riled up.
Something, I saw it. I just can't remember the exact quote.
He was talking about the talent level in Major League Soccer.
Or like
soccer
he was
versus
above
Europe. He said, "I am a Ferrari. Everyone else is a Fiat."
Yeah, that was good. That was good. Well, he showed it last night against the best team in the MLS, and he dominated.
The great thing about this is, look, we've seen European stars come over here and just suck. They were on the retirement plan. They were on the give me a big check, give me my $6-7 million, and I'm going to go lay on the beach, and I'll show up and play soccer if I feel like it. Okay, David Beckham was the outlier. He came over, and he was awesome. He put this league in a category it could never have been, at least up until this point. He put Major League Soccer on the map, on the world stage. For American soccer fans, we loved it. I loved it from day one. Beckham put it on a different level. Okay, you saw other players like Steven Gerrard, former Liverpool star, and I hate to say this about him, but he sucked when he got here and played for the Galaxy. He was here for a check.
I think Frank Lampard even, too.
Frank Lampard was one of the worst ever.
Yep.
European retiring stars coming over and getting a huge check.
Mm-hmm.
Just awful for New York City FC, NYCFC. But Zlatan, holy smokes.
He could still play in Europe.
Yes. I don't know why European teams are not trying to get a transfer with him right now. I mean, sure, he's probably not going to play for Manchester United or Liverpool or Barcelona or Real Madrid, but he could help a Tottenham.
He would be a great super sub. Late in games.
Yes.
Off the bench.
Yeah.
Put him in around the 60-minute mark.
Fantastic. He'd be awesome.
But
as long as he's here, I'm glad he's still in MLS.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Give him all the money. Give him all the endorsements, whatever it is.
Hopefully he stays and he keeps producing.
I guarantee you in the off season of European soccer, and they're going to be starting up here in just, 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
Mid-August.
And their cricket championships are over now. I guarantee those Zlatan Ibrahimovic highlights were played across Europe this morning on the highlight shows. Guarantee it. Sporting KC, by the way, playing tonight, Children's Mercy Park, 7:30 against FC Dallas. This game is huge. Talked about this, you know, going back 3 weeks ago. Was Sporting KC heading towards an area where they were in danger zone territory in terms of the season slipping away? They get a big 1-0 home 1-0 home win against Chicago. Okay. Then they go get a road win, 3-0 over Vancouver, and Vancouver is awful. They're terrible. But you got to go kick somebody's ass, right?
Both those teams are not good.
No. But you got, when somebody's down, you got to go kick their ass, which Sporting KC did last week in Vancouver. So I'm looking at the standings here. This FC Dallas game, I'll tell you how big this is. Okay, so the top seven teams in each conference get to go to the playoffs. And those seven teams are in what I call the playoff zone. Sporting KC is outside the playoff zone. playing FC Dallas tonight. FC Dallas is the last team in right now if the season ended today. They're on 21 points. Sporting KC is in 10th place. That sounds bad. They're on 20 points. A win tonight, Sporting KC is in the playoff zone. 3 weeks ago, didn't even think about it. Couldn't see it. It was a mountain. It was a wall high enough Patrick Mahomes might be able to throw the ball over it. Might not.
Oh, I think the points are...
I'm sorry.
I read the wrong line. Yeah, you're good. You're good.
So FC Dallas is on 29 points. Sporting KC is on 25. So if Sporting wins tonight, they could be 1 point out of the playoff zone with a lot of games left to go. A lot of games left to go. At least enough to get back in that zone. Here's a piece of good news for you, Sporting KC fans. All the injuries Sporting has had this season, guess who might be able to get back on the field tonight, back on the pitch tonight? Roger Espinoza. For me, look, you can point to a number of guys who are important players. Matt Beisler's the captain. Awesome. Their defense with the back four they've had the last couple of games, getting them together now, has been really good. Borath, Sesanovic, Beisler, Graham Zusi, Tim Melia, important player. Really important player. Ilya Sanchez, super important player. He's not going to be playing tonight. Roger Espinoza, for me, is the heart and soul of this team. You saw what happened when he went out with that injury, that knee injury. This team wasn't the same. It took them until now to figure out how to play in that midfield. Plus, Roger Espinoza is a hard ass. He'll go toe-to-toe with anybody in this league. You want to come at Sporting KC? You got to go through Roger Espinoza first. And that's a dangerous proposition for an opposing team. So Roger Espinoza, let me see, I'm just reading this right now. I'm talking about the injuries. You could get Jalen Lindsey back, could get Rodney Wallace back. And midfielder, this is Sporting KC's game notes. Influential midfielder Roger Espinoza could be in line for a highly anticipated return after missing the last 3 months due to that knee injury. If they announce Roger Espinoza in the starting lineup tonight, Children's Mercy Park is going to blow the roof off. They don't have a roof, but they have a covering. They could blow the covering off, right? If I'm a Sporting fan, I'm going bananas.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be in the starting lineup tonight.
No,
but if
he may come in.
But if there's a chance he's a sub off the bench or, you know, is taking, you know, the penny off to get warmed up and whatnot, that is definitely some positive vibes going for the team, not only the fans, but the team as well, having that stability in the midfield and someone that has a ton of experience and has been with this team for quite some time now.
And if he comes back, maybe tonight, maybe. And then Ilya comes off that yellow card suspension for the next game. Whoo, man, you're talking about a dangerous team in Major League Soccer. Teams ahead of Sporting KC in the standings won't want to be a part of this. And look, I'm the eternal optimist here, okay? I realize Sporting is still, you know, a handful of points out of the playoff zone. That's reality because they had such a poor stretch with the injuries and just poor play. Not playing well. So I'm a realist. But I'm also the eternal optimist. You get Roger Espinoza back in the mix. Ilya is going to miss tonight. He comes back from the yellow card suspension. And this team could be in a position to rock and roll. And Johnny Football hasn't been available the last couple of games. Johnny Russell. This team could be poised to explode in the second half. I mean, really take off.
They still have a lot of work. That back line is not, even with the rotation kind of settling down in terms of the consistency of having, it's the speed is not where it needs to be. And especially if those left and right backs get up the field, like if Zusi and Sinovic, and they give up possession around the midfield point, it's a question for concern, especially playing against some of those top class, you know, like a Sounders or, of course, an LA Galaxy or an LAFC. So that's something that maybe in this transfer window, maybe that's something that they do address.
Right.
If they have all that depth up top and in the midfield, they do have a lot of players that maybe possibly Peter Vermeer is looking at and be like, all right, we have some pieces that we could move. to shore up that back half.
Right. And they've got till, I believe, August 9th on that transfer window, bring in another player.
Mm-hmm.
Solidify. They're not. Look, Sporting KC is not going to splash the $7 million for a Zlatan Ibrahimovic. That's not going to happen. That's not how Sporting works. It never has. They've had big players before. Felipe Gutierrez is a big player. He makes a lot of money, but not $7 million. That's just not going to happen. You got to fit the system. They're not going out there. Sporting KC is not in the business of signing a player to sell jerseys. Frank Lampard, those guys, those type of guys, they're not coming here. They're not selling jerseys for a 40-year-old retread who's on the retirement tour. That ain't going to happen. Peter Vermes and his staff are too smart for that. By the way, their scouting staff this year is enormous. Where they're scouting, Europe, Central America, South America, Mexico. Not sure what their footprint in Asia is, but I'm sure they've got somebody over there dialed in. But they're going to sign a guy, two guys, whatever it is. Maybe they won't sign anybody. But if they sign somebody, it's going to be somebody who fits the Sporting KC system. Somebody who works their ass off. If you don't work, you ain't playing. That's just the cold hard truth for Sporting KC. I've seen big names come here and sit. That happens. Trying to think of some of the bigger names. Omar Bravo was a big name a few years ago. He didn't fit. He was one and done. Did not fit. But they'll go find a guy like Ilya Sanchez, who was playing for the Barcelona B squad, second team. Those guys are practicing every day with Leo Messi and all the superstars they got over there. He fits Sporting system because he works his ass off. So that's, if you see a guy come in, it'll be the guy who wants to play the Sporting KC way. So get out there tonight, Children's Mercy Park. Yes, it's going to be hot. Take your water, whatever you need. They'll have all kinds of, I'm sure they have water stations ready. They'll be available. Get out there and support it. Watch it on TV. Nate Buchady be on the call. Sports Radio 810 WHB. Matt Lawrence. El Jefe, Carter Augustine. It's going to be a lot of fun because this is a big game. Sporting KC can gain some serious ground. All right, we'll take a timeout. We're still kind of in that limbo standby stage for a possible Ice Cube appearance. We'll see. When we come back to finish up hour number two, we'll get a little more into Tyreek Hill. We didn't have a lot of time in that first hour to do that, so we'll do it. Chiefs training camp opens next week. We'll have it covered every single day. Stephen St. John will take up residence at the Stony Creek Inn. I'll be up there at the next couple of weekends. Soren Petro is going to be up there, so we will have it covered. Quick timeout. You are listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Back on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. Cranking out those 50,000 watts. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. Again, we're on standby. We're in limbo. Ice Cube may or may not call into the show. Big three this afternoon at Sprint Center. A lot of former KU players out there playing three-on-three, half-court basketball, three-point shots, four-point shots. It's very entertaining. If you can't get to Sprint Center, it's going to be on CBS or CBSSports.com. It's available in a couple of different places. So we'll wait and see. I don't know. We don't know. This is, we hope. By the way, just real quick before I go to the phones here, checking the leaderboard at the Open Championship, the British Open. Top of the leaderboard, old man, Lee Westwood. He's in his mid-40s. His girlfriend's caddying for him. That's awesome. I guess she keeps him lighthearted on the course. Lee Westwood at the top of the leaderboard at 10-under, joined by J.B. Holmes at 10-under, followed by Tommy Fleetwood and his flying hair, Shane Lowry at 9-under, Xander Schauffele at 7-under, as is Justin Rose. Shane Lowry, by the way, they showed a tight shot of his spikes this morning. He's got the Irish flag on there. Awesome in his home country. Let's go to the phones right now. We'll talk with our good friend, Tommy Moe, friend of the program. Tommy, it's hot outside. Crime usually goes up when it's hot. I know you bail people out. Are you having a busy week this week?
It's not bad. It's crime is at a steady pace. not a spike, but not a lull either. So those who commit crime, sometimes the weather doesn't matter to them. They just go out and do their thing.
Well, just hopefully they stay away from me. I would much rather not be involved in a crime or being the victim of a crime, Tommy.
I understand. That's, you do your thing and they do theirs.
That's right. So, I stay out of trouble. All right.
But, Brad, I can't make any money off you.
No, you're not going to make money off me.
Damn.
I think the last time, the one time I got picked up, this was when I was in my 20s. I forgot to pay a parking ticket in Parkville, Missouri, up north. And I was at my house, and I don't know why I forgot to pay a parking ticket in Parkville, but there was a knock on the door, and there was a police car from the Parkville, Missouri Police Department and the Platte County Police Department. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? What'd I do? Guy knocks on the door, and he says, are you Brad Porter? And I said, yes. And he goes, well, we have a summons for your arrest. And I was like, what did I do? I didn't do anything to anybody. He said, you failed to pay your parking ticket. And I was like, okay, I'll grab my checkbook. I'll write you the check right now. What is it, $50? I don't know. I said, well, technically you have to come down to the station. And I said, okay, let me grab my jacket. I think it was cold outside. I walked to the kitchen to get my jacket, and these two officers are following me like I'm gonna jump out the back window to avoid paying a parking ticket in Parkville. I thought it was gonna be high noon or something. I'm exaggerating a little bit. They were very nice. And they took me to, I didn't have to get in the cuffs. They didn't have to hook me up, rode in the front seat, paid my parking ticket, and I was done.
That's all you need to know about Parkville. That's the biggest crime that they had to, solve.
Ugh.
Coming to your house.
Yes.
They have $50 parking tickets. So that says a lot of good things about Parkville, that crime is not at a
love Parkville.
At its peak in Parkville.
Love.
They have to run down parking ticket.
Yep. Love Parkville.
You know,
hey, what's on your mind, Tommy Moe?
I'd like to track this. This, no one's ever pointed this out, and I'm trying to point it. Might be a line of demarcation. Since Sporting traded or got rid of Dom Dwyer for cash.
Yes.
What's the record? I want to know what the record was. You know, the 30 games while he was, or the 30 matches with him, and then maybe the, would you say probably 30 matches they played without him?
Oh, it's probably more than that.
Was that last summer? I'm trying to track. Was that last summer they traded him for cash, or was that 2 years ago?
That was 2 years ago. And
is
Ikel Parra was the one last year, as Chris Bolick points out. But Dom was 2 years ago, 2.5
okay.
years ago. And it was
yeah,
for
it was about
serious
time.
Cash.
Wasn't about, well, I don't know if it was 3 years ago. It seemed like somewhat late in the summer or midsummer when they traded him just for cash. And I remember Peter Vermees coming, oh, we're going to use a lot of things with this cash. We're going to use A, B, and C. But just Dom Dwyer. He's not Patrick Mahomes.
Nope.
But he kind of had that flair of Sporting Kansas City. He was, would you say, at the time he was playing for Sporting, he was the face of the team?
Well, I would always put Beasler as the face of the team, being the captain.
He's a local guy. I get that. But it just seemed like
he had a little flair. He was,
him and he
you know, he and he, you know, Kai Kamara had flair. You know, some of the former players, they got more cash for Dom Dwyer than any other trade in MLS history. And let me tell you a little something, peek behind the curtains here, Tommy. Dom wasn't exactly a team-first guy.
Okay.
Dom was about Dom, and when he went to Orlando, I'd say his success has not been as great. But he did not fit the Sporting KC way, if you got to put a label on it.
But I don't know if if he was all about himself, that's fine, but he did. Like I said, it just seemed like Sporting Kansas City as a team had more success with him on the team than since then.
Yeah.
I would just like to know. I'd like to track what they've done with him and without him, but it just seemed like they had a lot more success during the regular season, and they did have some success in the playoffs with him on the team.
I'd have to go back and look at the record, but I would say Sporting would be right about the same spot, but you're right. There has not been until Johnny Russell got here, they did not have that dynamic striker type. Johnny Russell is dynamic. He's one of the few people in the world who can do what he does. And Dom was kind of that guy for Sporting. He has not had the same success since going to Orlando for whatever reason, but Dom was not going to be a good fit with this team. When you see a really good player on a top tier team get shipped out, there are reasons for that.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Sure.
Money that we got for Dom Dwyer, did we use that money to get Johnny Russell?
I believe there is still money in the tank from the Dwyer trade, and they're waiting until, I believe, next season to use a large chunk of that, because if they splurge now, they don't want to blow through that. But there, I believe there is money still in the tank from the Dom Dwyer trade. And look, MLS has all these different rules about the money, and they have, you know, targeted allocation money. They have international money. They have the designated player money. It's all in these weird pots, and it takes a long time. Sam McDowell of the Kansas City Star could go into detail on you with that, or Andy Edwards from The Athletic could get into detail on that for you, but it's strange how money works in Major League Soccer.
Yeah, so what I'm reading here is, so they got $400,000 right away in in money. There was $500,000 in targeted allocated money and $700,000 in future allocation. So in total, $1.6 million in allocation
and you can
money.
You can spend that at different times. There are times. And Tommy, I apologize. I got to go because we're coming up on the break. But I will look it up. I'll tell you this. For next week, I will look it up. We'll see Dom Dwyer's record or Sporting's record with Dom Dwyer and since Dom Dwyer was out. Tommy, hey, I appreciate it. Be safe out there.
Thank you.
All right, that is Tommy Moe, one of our favorite callers here. All right, we are nearing the end of hour number one. We got one more to go. Matt Verderam from fansided.com will join us and talk Chiefs training camp set to open next week in St.
Joe. Are you excited for training camp?
I'm ready to go.
Are you ready to stay at the Stony Creek Inn?
Stony Creek Inn is awesome.
You're
going to
be there next week, right?
Yep, next weekend. Next two weekends.
That's great.
Looking forward to it. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.